Down the line, they're going, not you, not you, not you. And there's even an underlying thing there between Shiite and Sunni of saying, you go and get blown up. Well, we then will take control. So you know, who knows what will happen between now and next week, but be in prayer. So I want to pray now for our ambassadors. We have three in Taiwan, and we also have an interesting typhoon over in that area. So we need to pray for them. Cindy, have you heard anything from your daughter? Can you tell us what's going on? They're doing okay? Everybody's doing good? Okay. All right. For those of you who don't know, Dolly is young. How old is Dolly? She's 17. My opening line this morning, can God speak to kids? You bet. We believe from the beginning that God is going to use Dolly different than everybody else because of her age to open some interesting doors for the future. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen in this. They're over there teaching worship in dance to Taiwanese who have asked them to come, for those of you who are new. So keep them in prayer. Also, we got wind of other little doors that might be opening for them to share and to make a link to go back and forth, and that this isn't just the first time. So keep them in prayer for safety and the weather and so on. And Janice Doozy is in China. There's not a lot we can say right now because of the situation, but all of her prayers are being answered. The people she was supposed to meet up with, she's going to do it. It's set up. The places she needed to be, the things she needed to take with her, everything fell in line. It's beyond being normal, okay? It's too good to be true. So she was praying for specific divine appointments with specific people, and she got confirmation that she will meet with them. Now, the bottom line is that because of the political relations of China and Israel, okay, China and the Israelis, the Israeli ambassador to China, who Janice talks to, by the way. Do you know that we have people like that in our congregation? They go over and talk to ambassadors and stuff. They do. And she says, well, how about the Chinese Jews? How can we get them to make Aliyah? And he says, there aren't any. And Janice says, what about the ones in, you know, where she's going? There aren't any. Okay, and she can tell that he's not believing that. But he has to say that because of the situation. Our prayer is, and we prayed this on Thursday night at our Bible study, that not only will that work out, but Janice can be the person that makes it happen and actually go with them, escort them to Israel. Okay, not right now, but maybe in 6 months or so. And then and next time we send her back, she's saying, I've got a half a plane load of people I'm taking over to Tel Aviv, so pray for me, okay? Because that's her heart, and it's a link with the Chinese people, which is interesting. Let's pray. Our God and God of our fathers, I just thank you for the opportunity this summer for the people of our little teeny congregation that have been invited and asked to go and provide ministry and teach at conferences in Taiwan, where they said, can you share with us what you know? Can you teach us? And we send the teenager as one of them. Thank you for that open door. I pray your hand of protection to be upon them. May you use them in a great and mighty way to explain how worship is spiritual warfare, how worship is praise, how dance in worship can knock down the strongholds of the enemy. And it's just a lot of fun beside that. And I pray, Lord, that you would open doors for them of friendships, that there would be friendships not only tied to them personally, but to our congregation, that we would have some kind of a link to possibly even establish a messianic congregation in Taiwan, and that you'd use the dance and music to open that door. And Lord, if there's any Taiwanese Jewish believers, that would be a miracle. I pray that you would bring them to our people, that they would meet them and say, can you help me? Can a dot help me to get this started? And Lord, we will say yes. So our prayer is that would happen. And for Janice, we pray for safety and protection in places of danger. And Lord, I pray that those people that she meets, that there would be your security around them, your holy angels would be protecting and allow her to say what's on her heart freely without the wrong people hearing it, that they can each express their heart and she can find out what they believe, what they need, and how we can help. If there's something we can do for them, especially in providing them materials concerning Yeshua and who he is and his Jewishness, and even helping them to make Aliyah, I pray, Lord, you would set that up, that we would this would be the beginning, and we would be a part of an interesting work that you're doing that nobody thinks could happen. When they say there are no Jews in China, and guess what? There are, and Janice knows right where they are. Thank you for her. And again, we take a look at the people that you use, and we confess we're nobody, we're nothing. But Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity and these invitations that you can take nobodies like us and open doors of ministry and teaching of worship across the world. And we pray specifically for their safety in Yeshua's name. And Lord, again, we want to lift up Israel to you. And Lord, they're reacting. They're responding, and I pray they would make the right decisions. But I pray as well that not only would they be ready, but that we would be ready, because we don't know if this is the last battle beginning. But Lord, in your instructions, you told us that when we see it starting, to get ready. And Lord, that's the advice. I pray that we would be ready to meet you. And I thank you that Ron was ready. And no greater thing can be said about someone that at their passing than they were a godly man, and they were ready to meet you. You know, there's that verse, and I believe it's Malachi, where it literally says, prepare to meet your God, because that day's coming. I pray we would be prepared to meet you, because it may be sooner than we think. Thank you for your word and your instructions in Yeshua's name. Amen. All right, well, actually, we have more prayer requests, too, and things to announce. One of them isn't too good. Some of you already know this, but if you want to go to Marty Goetz's website, you get more information. They can't really respond, but Jennifer was diagnosed with cancer a couple of weeks ago, and they were on the verge of deciding what treatment to have and so on. And it didn't sound like very good news, but we don't have any details. So we'll keep you posted on Jennifer. And if update information, if you go to Marty's website, you'll hear more. Also, a new event in the region, Larry Feldman is now the Southwest Regional Director. Murray stepped down. Some of you know a little bit about this, but Murray and Kay have been having problems in their marriage. And we didn't want to say anything to anybody, okay, because, you know, we didn't want to, of course. But, you know, everybody will at some point in time have issues to solve and to work out. But when you're the congregational leader, everybody knows about it, okay? You can't okay. So at this point in time, he's still at the congregation. He's not planning on leaving. He wants to work everything out, keep them in prayer. But because of the situation, he did step down, and Larry has been called to step in. So that's the latest on that. So please keep Mary and Kay in your prayers as well. I would appreciate that. A little bit about the conference. Now, my frustration is, I might even have it next week, and you'll see when we get rolling here in a few minutes what that frustration is. There's several things to tell you. Let's say there's four things that funnel down to kind of one thing, and then that one thing is kind of where it's all at. My frustration is we can't get there today. If I started a half an hour ago, we can't get there today. So this is in two parts. You have to know that, because, and you'll see when I start. What happened at the conference was that we kind of put our toes out, okay, stuck our toes out. These gigantic spiritual hammers came and pounded on them. Does that sound like fun? And then there were some Band-Aids put on there, okay? So I thought it only right that I do that for you too. Pound on your toes and then put some Band-Aids on. The problem I see is if I start pounding on the toes today and you don't come back next week, then you won't get the Band-Aids. Because the story has an end, not just a beginning, so you have to come back next week, maybe even the week after. Marla was there, and I was hoping she'd be here this morning to kind of share, so we'll have her share a little bit next week. But it was an incredible time. I'll start sharing some bits and pieces and we'll form things together. We do have a large number of CDs that we'll have available to you probably starting next week. We have a whole section just for teens that I brought back. They have a wonderful conference within a conference. But I'll start by just kind of sharing some interesting surprises. Okay, one of the nights. Okay, it's Monday night. Here's the brochure. The theme of the conference was zealous for Zion. By the way, for you who are new, this is our international conference. We have it once a year. I'm not sure where you guys have yours, but this is our big one. And unfortunately, it's on the East Coast. It costs a lot of money to get back there, so everybody here you can't go. But it's a week long, and everybody comes together and you know, they say stuff, okay? What's interesting is what they say. You'll see. But on Monday night, I opened the book, and you look forward. Who is the dynamic speaker that they're going to have in tonight's meeting? Okay, Colson McCaw was the worship group singing. Speaker was Ra'anan Gesin. I go, okay, who is he? Okay, it doesn't say who he is. It doesn't say who he is, okay? Y'all know Michael Brown, don't you, from up in Woodland Hills? Well, all of these security people came rushing into the men's room while he was in it, saying, "You have to leave right now. Somebody big is coming." He thought there was a fat person that was coming into the men's room, and he has to leave, right? Do you really know this is true? I could not make this up. And so it looks like, you know, President Bush is coming, all the guys with the little things in their ears and, you know, like this, these mics like this and all this kind of stuff. And, of course, they all wear the navy blue blazers, and, you know, you can dark glasses, the whole shot, right? Who is this guy that they clear the men's room when he comes in, okay? So I said, I don't know who he is. So as they introduce him, this speaker, this is historical. We had a couple of, about three really historical events, and this is one. And I'll tell you at the beginning of this that we got the DVD, and you will be able to see this in a future date when it's dark. Okay, we can't show it in the light, but you can see the whole thing. All right? Well, who is this guy? Well, as they introduced him, he was the senior advisor to Ariel Sharon in matters of security and defense. This is big. This is like cabinet-level stuff. And he's got the same position with Omert. In other words, it's the Undersecretary of Defense and their equivalent of our CIA director is who he is, from Israel. And he's going to talk to us? That, you know, these guys don't even like us, right? They don't like Messianic Jews. Well, I didn't even take notes. Okay, I just sat back and took it in and said, I'm bringing the DVD back for you guys. But it's on film, okay, the things that he said. And there has been a radical change in the government of Israel toward us. And it's been really quick and really recent. He was talking how much they need us, how much they want us, how you know, he's secular. He's not the religious orthodox. But he was saying, you know, it's about time Israel woke up and realized we need you people. We need Messianic Jews. And it was just an amazing thing. And it all boiled down to that we have over the years practiced what we preach in the midst of persecution from them. Of them saying, you're not Jewish, you know, you're deceivers, you're pretending to be somebody, you know, all the whole list. You know, the whole list. And finally he said, well, we learned that in the midst of all that, you guys hung in there, you kept loving Israel, praying for Israel, giving money to Israel, planting trees, sending ships, container ships full of stuff to give away free. And so you know what? You are who you say you are. Lots of people say stuff, oh, we love you, we love Israel, we love you. But they don't demonstrate that love. Here's the problem, and see, these are the bits and pieces we'll get to next week and the week after. There are a lot of people, okay, that say, Lord, I love you, Lord. And Lord, I love your word. But I just really don't care for your people. Okay? And they perceive that. It's like a form of anti-Semitism. They say, you say you love Yeshua, he's kind of Jewish. You say you love God's word, it's kind of Jewish, written by Jews, but you don't like us. Well, you love the land of Israel because of prophecy, but you just don't like the people. You don't like Jews. Well, there's about 20 minutes of that coming next week, okay? On that stuff. But he was acknowledging, you know, who you are and what you've done. We thank you, and we need you. And we're thinking, now, you have to understand that there's a large Israeli contingency sitting in that audience right now, okay? teens, a lot of teens. And he got to the issue of Aliyah. And he was very affirmative of saying, I will do everything I can to have you live in our land. You've proven who you are. We want you here. He was talking big, talking good. It's on tape. We're going to hold him to his word, okay? And so we would have never heard that a few years ago. Okay, never. He loved the music and the dance. Okay? And at the end, even though he kept saying that he was secular, in the very end, he got back to a little interesting connection by saying, we know that what you are doing is of God. He talked about God and the land and Israel, just like we would do here, kind of unknowingly, I think. God was just kind of speaking, of saying, this is what he said would happen, that he would bring people together. And then he blessed us and thanked us for supporting Israel. So very interesting. Now another guy, which they don't even have his name written down. They bring him up on the stage, and he's got this suit on and so on. He's an American, or he used to be. He made Aliyah not too long ago. And y'all know the Joseph Project stuff with Joel Chernoff and the ships. There's ships, millions and millions of dollars going over of stuff that's given away free to people who need it. And we just keep doing that. Okay? And finally, the government's finally saying, thank you. Thank you, by the way, because nobody else is doing that but you. Well, thank you. And so then this Messianic Jew who made Aliyah was working with Joel Chernoff and working on the docks to get all the stuff to the people. The people at I forgot the cabinet section that deal with this stuff, the welfare stuff, said, they gave him a phone number. They said, I want you to be in my office tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. He said, okay. It was at the Knesset. He says, I'm in trouble now. Okay, I'm going to lose my visa, go home, my passport, that's it. He goes there. And they hand him a card, a business card, with his name on it. He just got a job, and they never asked him if he wanted it. They just said, here, you have this job now. And it's as a member, a Messianic Jew, as a member of the Knesset, working just right under the welfare department for distribution of the goods. They, on purpose, placed a Messianic Jew in that position, in the government. This is unheard of. I'm thinking, I can't believe what I'm hearing. This is amazing. Well, and the stuff with the Joseph Project and all this happening, it's amazing. I mentioned there was 26 teens there from Israel. They were answered prayer. We a few years ago, we prayed for them, and they're there. They're answered prayer. Answered prayer. I'll get to that a little later. Okay, I think we're okay there. Now, also later, maybe in the days and weeks to come, we have some new and some fun stuff for you. Some of you know who this is, but as I mentioned to the lady at the health food store at the vitamin shop, I said, who do you think I had dinner with last week? And like sat down and had dinner next to last week. I don't know. I said, Jordan Rubin. Anybody ever heard of Jordan Rubin? You heard of him? And we had dinner with Jordan Rubin. Who said yeah? What do you think he ate? What do you think he ate? No. Huh? Chicken! Rice! It was like normal. But it was healthy stuff. Okay, now, Jordan Rubin was one of the speakers. Yes, I brought back the three CDs. Yes, I went to both classes. But Susan advised me to come to the first class because she wanted me to come to that healthy class. And I'm thinking, I looked at who else was speaking at the same time, and I'm thinking, well, okay, I'll go to the healthy class. And I got to tell you, it was really, really good. You've heard the biblical dietary stuff preached all of your lives, okay? What's different about this? It's really clear when he teaches it. And it's not only clear, at the end of it you say, how can anyone disagree with this? I mean, it was so clear. He was teaching Scripture all the way through. God is concerned about your health, and he cares about what you eat, because what you eat affects your health, big time. And I'm thinking, I took pages and pages. I'm taking pages of notes on this kind of stuff. It was really good. We got acquainted. We brought back a pile of stuff. And we're going to have some seminars here maybe even have Jordan come. Okay, be praying about that. That'd be cool, huh? But he loves the Lord. He has great testimony. His mom was there, remember? You have read his book. His mom was the one who took the picture of him when he was like a skeleton. She didn't want to do it because they gave him like 24 hours to live. And he's like, I wish I looked like him, okay? And his testimony is, because I eat according to Scripture. Okay? God's concerned about what we eat. The kids are all gone, right? Okay, they're all gone. Good. He said, they're all gone. Three times in the meeting, he said, poop. Three times. And I go, and it was fish. Okay, he said, okay, the lobsters, the shrimp and all those bottom guys, what do they eat? They eat fish. He said, if they didn't exist, because we get mad at lobsters and crabs and stuff. If they didn't exist, in about 30 days, the oceans would be so polluted it'd kill you. They clean things up. Okay, that's good. They have a real purpose. He said, but they eat that other stuff. And he said, when they eat that, they don't digest that. Now think about the process here. They don't digest it. And he said, you've heard it said, you are what you eat. It's not what he said. He said, you are what they eat. I go, okay. So, what's interesting was the parameters of what was being addressed. And we have all that stuff to give to you and to share with you in some future seminars. Susan is working with Charlene on some stuff to give. And I got to tell you, I went there with kind of my feet in the sand here, pushing down. But I'll tell you what, it was really, really a blessing. And he teaches the Scriptures as he goes through. And it all makes a lot of sense. Well, the conference. The theme was Zealous for Zion. Great theme, but it's kind of a broad theme, right? And God spoke. God spoke. That's good. Okay, that is good. I'm sorry, I've got to be using these back and forth because I can't focus. I'll do my best. That's not bad. I'm not really davening, but I'll do it like this. Okay, the messages, there was a lot of them, kept hitting us from all angles of what God was saying. And there was kind of a message in messages that would all come together. With the same set of Scriptures and the same emphasis, but from different perspectives. And after a while, you start saying, oh, okay, the Lord's saying something. Same Scriptures, the same, okay, but it's a different kind of a way to say it, okay? What's he saying to us? It also dovetailed with the rabbis' conference, the last 2 years of rabbis' conferences and what they taught. I'm going, okay, there's a connection here. Something's happening. Okay, in the movement. In the movement, God is saying something to us. He's saying something to the movement from the leaders. So are we going to listen? That's okay. These people did not get together beforehand and work this out. Many of them don't know each other. Okay, that's the Lord at work. What I'm going to do is a little bit today and then next week is put together parts, paragraphs, sentences of people like Ann Graham, Billy Graham's daughter, David Chernoff, Jeff Foreman, Raleigh Washington, Jonathan Burness, and of course me. My perception of what we needed at and bring it all together. And it all fits together. But several speakers began with similar prayers as they prayed. But they used different words. But when we started this morning, those of you who are here on time, okay, what did I do? I went back to 1 Samuel chapter 3 to little Samuel. Remember that? That kept coming up. As little Samuel prayed, speak, Lord. We kept hearing that. That's a good prayer to start with, by the way, isn't it? It's a good way to start your day. Speak, Lord. But you see, there's more to what was going on with Samuel. That's where we start. Speak, Lord. And as I read that scripture this morning, I read the whole thing. But can we also say what Samuel said? Lord, here am I. Little Samuel said, Lord, here am I, for you called me. This is a part of the message. Oh, thank you. For you called me. So all of a sudden, the picture starting to be painted. God has called us and done something and commissioned us. But are you willing to say, to admit it, okay, to say that? Here am I, for you called me. And then can you say, if you go that far, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That's what Samuel said. That's where you have to start. And that's where the prayers begin. Speak, we want to hear from you. Speak, Lord. We need you to talk to us. Speak, Lord. We need a word from you. We don't want to go on our own stuff anymore. We're tired of that. We want to hear from you. And the secondary scripture was Exodus 33. You recall the section where God is telling Moses, you know, you're going to go this way and that way. And Moses has had some difficulties with the people, okay, to say the least. And Moses says, stop, wait. We're not going unless we know that your presence goes with us. If your presence doesn't go with us, we're not going to go. God likes to hear that kind of stuff, because otherwise it can be in your own strength. And so the prayers kept going like that too. Lord, we don't want to move and we don't want to do anything unless your presence takes us there. We want to hear from you and go following the leading of your presence. Is that your prayer? See, all the rabbis said that's our prayer. They all stood up when challenged. Is that you? Yes, that's me. I'm going to put down my agenda, my stuff. All I want to follow the cloud, and I want to hear from you. And then, so the question goes kind of like this. We begin that way, and that's how they all started. Speak, Lord. We want to hear from you. We need a word from the Lord. And so when he speaks, and when we listen, are we going to do what he says? Or say, you know, I didn't like that. I was hoping for a different one. Well, you see, you gotta get ready to do something you don't like, maybe. And that's where the toe-stepping came in. And that may be next week. We'll see how it goes. I'll set the groundwork today. But nobody likes that. Why do we like our toes stepping on as leaders? You're all leaders, okay? Why is that? Because we perceive that what we're doing right now is the right thing. So why step on our toes? Because we're doing it right, right? Okay. Is that a little pride or something or anything? Maybe I can get into it. Story. I want to read it so I don't botch it up, which begins and will end with this next week, the concept. But this sets the stage. Yeshua, you know, he told little stories with spiritual truth. Why? So you remember it, okay? That's why. This is a true story. In mid-December, let me try this one. Actually, this one works better. In mid-December, let's do this. 1903, true story. Anybody here alive then? Two men ran excitedly into the telegraph office in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. They asked the operator if he could send a message from them to their father in Dayton, Ohio. The operator examined the message and said, sure, I can send this. So he did. Here's the message, word for word. Success. By the way, you know when you do the telegraph, there's a stop. You put a little stop thing. Success. Stop. Next line. Four flights on Thursday morning. Stop. All against 21-mile-per-hour winds. Stop. Started at ground level with engine power alone. Stopped. Longest flight, 59 seconds. Stop. Inform press. Stop. We'll be home for the holidays. Signed, Orville and Wilbur. That was sent. Okay? All right. The father received the message. He was excited, wouldn't you be? Ran straight to the newspaper office and asked the editor, can you print this? He reads it. He says, sure, I can print this. And he was excited about it, as he should be. And he said, yes, I will. The next morning, the headlines read this in the Dayton Journal. Headline read this. Popular local bicycle merchants will be home for the holidays. That's it. Orville and Wilbur Wright had just conducted the first flight. Aviation history was born. But the newspaper editor missed the message. But they're going to be home for Christmas, wasn't it? Okay? He missed the point. He had it in front of him. It was clear. He missed the point. He missed the message. You can probably start putting your toes up pretty soon. Well, lucky for you, they were going to end in about 5 minutes, so not a lot of toe stepping on today. One of the greatest stories of the 20th century, beginning a flight, and he missed it. Let me ask you this. You know, I have some old newspapers. I've got the one of Kennedy assassinated, you know, moon landing. I got some of those old, okay, historical papers. I say, I was alive back then, friend. How much would a copy of that paper from the Dayton Journal be worth today if you had a copy of that? If you had put the right stuff on it? Okay? The message had been clearly given to him, and he totally missed it. You can have a clear message being given, and you can miss it. We've been given a message, and it's been clear. A clear message. It was given with a sense of urgency. Why? Think about that. Is it possible that the people we are called to deliver that message to aren't seeing it? The people that we are called to deliver that message to and how we are doing it, they're not seeing it. They're seeing something else. Is it possible that we, too, are missing some stuff because of a lot of things? Things that are right and good and blessed. But maybe some of those things have become our priority. They're good. They're wonderful. Maybe they become our focus. Those things. Are we missing the message? If we miss the message, how can we give it? It has to be given clearly. We have been called by God. You go back to Samuel. Well, Samuel said, "The Lord's calling me." We have been called by God to be messengers. To be messengers. You know, that really goes into our Acts study, doesn't it? Our study in Acts. We're doing the right book at the right time for this congregation. We've been called to be messengers. We've been given a message to deliver. It better be done clearly. In Acts chapter 5, where we are right now, this next week, you all know that Peter gets put in jail, right? And a little problem there with the jail. And what happens? How does he get out? Peter and John and some of the others? Well, God sends an angel to let him out. They see the angel. They talk to the angel. And you know, if I was God, I would do things different. Okay? So, it might go something like this. Peter, you know, would you be impressed with an angel coming and opening the prison doors or what? Okay? And so what does the angel say to Peter? Now, why is he locked up? He's locked up for preaching that Yeshua is the Messiah, that he's risen from the dead, that eternal life is in his name. That's what he's in jail for. So the angel says, okay, now what I want you to do is go back to the Temple Mount and give that message. That's why he's in jail. But the guys that put him there can kill him. But the angel said, that's what you're supposed to do. The angel, by the way, the word messenger is the same word as angel. Okay? That messenger gave Peter the message. You're the messenger, Peter. You go to the Temple Mount and tell the people. Now, if I was there, I would say to the angel, I have a better idea. You go. They'll listen to you. You know, with the wings and the halo, you know, what does that look like? But, you know, let me tell you, you're really impressive. That big flaming sword thing, you know, they'll listen to you. God has not commissioned angels to give this message. I would have. He's commissioned people. fishermen, okay? Sort of unqualified kind of people. And the angel said, you give the message. That's what God wants you to do. You're the messenger. And at sunrise, they were there. Come Thursday night and we'll talk about that. The message is clear. It's been given to us. We've been called by God to be the messenger. And even he's been clear about where to take it and in what order. What did he say? To the Jew first. And also to everybody else. But there's a priority and an order to the Jew first. And also to everybody else. Now, think about that equation. What that's really saying is what the Great Commission is. What is that? Those are Jewish guys taking the good news to everybody else. In Matthew 28, that's what it is. The commission was given to Jews. Okay, you got it. Now you take it. To the uttermost parts of the earth. That would be Orange and Irvine, okay? Here we are. Could it be, though, that in... And I, you know, when my toes go out reluctantly, because I'm right, you know, why should I get my toes stepped on? Because I do things right. Could it be that in our rightness, in our correct doctrine, in our correct terminology, of course, we correct people if they say the wrong words, okay? Our correct terminology, and our correct liturgy, because obviously those of you who've been to other congregations know that we do it the right way here, of course. Yeah, see, John, easy, yeah, right. Okay? And our correct music, and our correct dance, and our correct observance, and our correct Jewishness, and our correct stance about Israel. Who can argue with that? And against anti-Semitism. And you can keep going on the list. And we're doing it so right that maybe our focus is on some of that stuff. To do things the right way. Is that our focus? That we do things the right way? And in doing that with good intentions, are we missing the message that God has entrusted to us to deliver clearly to specific people first, and then everybody else, like Taiwan and China, okay? One, he's called us to give. He's called you to be a messenger. He's given you the message. Where's our focus? As the toes were going out, you see the conference theme was zealous for Zion, the Israeli contingency. Okay, the message was coming forth. The message is not Israel. You know how much I love Israel. Okay, you know that. The message is not Israel. The message is not Jewishness. I do want to do things right, whatever that is, okay? It's not even about the proper interpretation of observing stuff on how you do it the right way. The message in one word is Yeshua. Yeshua. And are attempting with good hearts to be and to do everything that's right. And that's what people see, and they like it. But what they don't see maybe is Yeshua. They agree with us even. I like how you do that. I like your music. I like your dance. You know, your Torah service is cool. And they miss Yeshua. We're called not only to be the messengers, but to be focused messengers. Focused. Our focus is to be on Yeshua. Boy, the last two rabbis' conferences, that was the message. And it funneled right down to this one. Exactly. And next week I'll be bringing you some stuff from Jeff Foreman. See, after the pounding on the toes, which I haven't really gotten to much yet, there's the mending of the toes that we are told what to do about it now. And that's really good news. That is God's love and grace for us because he's told us what to do. And it's good news. It's really good. But we have to get there. Our focus needs to be Yeshua. Our focus. Satan, you know, our overall study for months now has been spiritual warfare, and this is actually a part of it. Satan can bring distractions, detours, causing us to put our attention and focus other places, on other things, good things, important things. I am not saying that's not important. Okay, I'm not saying that's not important. But do you remember some of the old-timers, my message back at the Armstrong building? That was a long time ago now. But it had a catchy title. By the way, nothing is my own. Y'all should know that, okay? Nothing is my own. I got this from a pastor I knew who got it from a seminary he went to. It goes way, way back. But truth is good. I want to share it. And the title of the message was, "The Main Thing is to Keep the Main Thing the Main Thing." And that's a cutesy title. Okay, John remembers that one, okay? Well, that's a cutesy title. That came from seminary professors to students of saying, you know what, guys? You're going to get a ton of information. But the main thing is to keep the main, because you got to keep remembering that, because you get all the books and all the good stuff and all the seminars. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's Yeshua. He's the main thing. He's the focus of, and everybody kept saying that, and they didn't talk to each other, and they weren't in each other's class. He is the focus of Messianic Judaism. And we'll see how time permits, but you know where I'm going with this. He's the focus of all of our life, all of our being. It's supposed to be a Yeshua-focused movement. He's our chief rabbi. I'll give you a list of scriptures next week and little half-liners that Paul used that were just overwhelming about his heart for the Lord. It is amazing. But we have been called by God to be messengers, and we need to focus on the delivery of that message, the need to focus on how we deliver it clearly. The greatest event of all of history, of all of time, has happened. It's better than Kitty Hawk. 59 seconds of flight, okay? It's better than that, okay? And most people don't know. They don't know. The greatest thing of all time has happened, and they don't know. And we have been called to tell them, to tell them in a way that's clear. When I went to Jordan Rubin's class, you know, I know all the dietary stuff, but it made a difference because it was really clear. And my thought was, well, why wouldn't anybody eat like this? Isn't that what you want people to say? Why wouldn't everybody believe in Yeshua? Makes total sense. It's how we deliver the message. In 2,000 years of history, we've made it really complicated. Okay, it's not complicated. We've made it that way. But first and foremost, to deliver the message, this might come as a given, but you need to be alive. Okay, there's a verse, and I didn't look it up, but it says, "Dead people don't praise the Lord." That's like, it really says that in the Bible. We talked Thursday about verses you put on people's birthday cards and stuff, you know. But you know what? You need to be alive, alive. The congregation in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 4, where we've been studying, they're alive. Remember that list of 21 characteristics? They were alive. But back up a step from that. That's neat. Let's go back to the personal thing. What did Yeshua say about that kind of stuff? Okay, a brief word of personal testimony. As a high school senior, I walked into this church because there was a very good-looking blonde from my school that went there. And I thought, go to church, okay? God uses a pretty face. He used Esther, right? Okay. But I wasn't prepared for what I was going about to hear. That was a long time ago. That was in 1962. And you know, I don't know how many of you, I saw one hand go up when I said, how many of you remember my message on the main thing is keep the main thing the main thing? Three hands go up, okay. I remember the message that day and the text that day and every word this guy said. What was the message that day? John chapter 3. You must be born again. I go, he kept saying it. You must be born again. Come to life spiritually. You must. You must come to life. You have a spiritual birth. So the question then is asked, because about half of the people at the conference were new, first timers there. The question is, okay, so when did that happen to you? When did you come to life? When were you born again? When did you move from darkness to light, from death to life? When did you receive Yeshua and the life that he gives? Because to give the message you've been called to give, you need to be alive. You can't deliver the message unless it's your life. It's who you are. It's not a set of historical facts that this happened 2,000 years ago. It's who you are, how he has changed you, the difference in your life that he has made. It's your testimony. Our life, our total being, is to be wrapped up completely in whatever it takes to deliver that message, wrapped up in him. You've heard the old saying, you're speaking, what you are is speaking so loud I can't hear what you say. Because they look at you. It's you. So they were giving us a wake-up call. And take a look at your TV. There's a wake-up call right there. A wake-up call. The alarm's gone off. And if you'll forgive me for taking three more minutes, and then we'll end, because I'm going to set the stage for next week on where we go. And I haven't pounded the toes yet. You have to come back for that fun stuff. But you need to know that when you turn that TV on and see what's going on CNN and Fox News and so on, there are people all over the world training seriously. They're focused people training for our destruction, for the end of your life, for the end of Israel and the end of you. Okay? Training to annihilate Israel and America. And you know their favorite target? You may not want to come back next week. Okay? Jews. American Jews. American Jews who believe in Yeshua. That's who they hate the most. That's us. They're training seriously. They are focused people on what they want to do. So our focus better be at least that, if not more, on what we're called to do. Our focus needs to be on him and asking the question, Lord, speak. We're listening. We need a word from you. Your servant is listening. We will do what you say, so speak. And what happens if he speaks and you don't like what he says? Because it's hard. You've been given a message. You're a messenger. You've been given a responsibility, a commission to deliver a message, the most important message of all time, in an orderly way, the Jew first and then everybody else. When they hear what we say, see, I can say this because like we're not, people aren't flocking in the door and we're not at eight services on a Saturday, okay? They're not, either we're not saying it or nobody's listening. So start praying, Lord, how do we deliver that message in a way that people hear it and receive it? And like in my Jordan Rubin class, they say, you know what? That makes perfect sense. Why wouldn't anybody be a believer in Yeshua after hearing this? And he doesn't use angels. He uses you, to give the message. So we'll pick it up here next week and move into some of the issues and problems and then what to do. Because the solution is in Scripture, too. It's good news. Let's pray. Our God and God of our fathers, Lord, I'll tell you what, you use people like us. That's an amazing thing. You have delivered a message to us to be delivered to others who need to hear. But Lord, the good news is that you've equipped us through your Holy Spirit to give that message. You've equipped us by giving us your word with what is needed to know and what we're supposed to say. But Lord, I pray that we would not let the other things become the focus and we say all the other stuff and we don't tell them about Yeshua. I pray our focus, our intense focus would be upon him, a relationship with him, a living and vital relationship with him. And as the disciples prayed in the beginnings of the book of Acts, Lord, that we, as a result, would see your power in our lives. There would be healings and signs and wonders that no one can deny, because it all points to Yeshua. that he's alive. And the theme of the book of Acts is that they were witnesses of the resurrection. Our focus and our message is Yeshua is alive. He lives, and he lives to give you eternal life. And he loves you. Lord, may that message be who we are, not just words that we say. And show us where we can do better. Help us to put aside the things that are less important and focus on the things that are more important. Show us what they are. May there be unity in this congregation and the ability to work together. And I thank you that right now as we speak, we have four people doing these very things in foreign countries. Bless them, protect them, use them for your glory. And I thank you for your word in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Let's all stand.